Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. I'm Tim with Wesley and Ray. And as always, we appreciate you listening. Joining us now in studio is Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, Steve, the last few minutes of the show, we were talking about the crisis that are big crisis that are facing our country at this moment. And you were saying you had a story on that too, right?
The dock workers?
Yep. The dock workers being one of the crises.
Well, there's several crises.
Yes, crises. Dock workers at ports from Maine to Texas began walking picket lines early Tuesday in a strike over wages and automation. That's what I have here.
They want, I hear, a 70% increase in salary.
By the way, who are they negotiating with?
That would be the government, I believe. Because the president, there is a, you remember when Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers back in the 80s?
Yes.
Uh-huh. He invoked a court case or a law, an act, and that allowed him in emergency situations to take action that he probably wouldn't be allowed to do if it was just regular business. And President Biden has said he will not invoke this act. Which might be, it's interesting to think, it might be payback for getting kicked out of the race because shortages in the shelves and a hard life right before an election with the Democrats in power, that cannot be good for them.
Yep.
Okay, I have an answer to my own question here. Okay, here's the answer. The question I had was, who are the longshoremen or dock workers negotiating with?
Yep.
And according to Google, which is always right, the International Longshoremen's Association, i.e. the dock workers, from Texas to Maine, their union representing 45,000 port workers had been negotiating with something called the United States Maritime Alliance Employer Group. They want a 6-year contract ahead of midnight on September 30th, which was the deadline, which passed
yesterday.
So I've never heard, this is the first time I ever heard of the United States Maritime Alliance Employer Group. I'm not sure. Anyway, have you ever heard of that, Ray? No?
No. But did you see the video of the union president?
I got that, in fact. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
This guy's name is Harold Daggett. He's the president of the International Longshoremen's Association. And, I mean, this guy is right out of Goodfellas The Godfather.
Yeah, yes, he is.
he's got a gold chain on.
He's a New Yorker?
He's a New Yorker, got a gold chain on. And he's
pretty good.
And he's talking about what this strike will do to this country. And then listen to this, cut 8.
Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down. And let's get a contract, and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you.
Well,
I just got to say, before we get too far into this, y'all could have saved this for Ed. He'd have had a lot more fun with this than us, okay? We're going to do our best here.
The Boston guy maybe could have done a New Yorker impersonation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot closer.
You know what I didn't like? I'm not – listen – unions can be good. Unions can be bad. It depends on the union leaders, and that's my view.
Yep.
However, and I think there was more of a time for unions in the past, maybe the earlier part of the 20th century, when you had a lot of abuse of workers, than there maybe is today. But putting that aside, I didn't like when he said, "I can." Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not our, not, he should have said, "Our union, if it stays on strike, will cripple this country." Okay.
Yes.
But he said, "I," didn't he? Couple
it's
times.
Very what? Personal.
Did you notice that, Ray?
Yeah, yeah. I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
like
old time. That's old time union talk right there.
Yeah. You better deal with me. I'm the leader, and if you don't deal with me, I'm gonna cripple this country.
What I don't understand here, and this shows you my ignorance here and all this, but why have they not already? When he says sit down and make a contract, well, you would think they'd already tried that. That's how we got to the strike.
That's true.
So no, he makes it sound like it's on them and it's that simple.
Well, the union is accusing the Maritime Employers Union, whatever that was called, of bad faith negotiations.
Okay.
That's typical. And there's just two notes I want to add to this just for factual accuracy. The strike, as you mentioned, Tim, is from Maine to Texas. The West Coast will still be open. What that means is all of the ships that would have docked on the East Coast or in the Gulf have to go through the Panama Canal and then line up and queue up on the West Coast. In the middle of COVID, we had the dock workers couldn't or didn't unload ships because of COVID, and we had shortages then and a supply chain issue that's likely to happen again. And there are two exceptions that the union is making to this strike. They will allow military ships to come in and offload and cruise ships to come in and offload. Military for national security issues and cruise ships.
You mean using their workers?
Yes. And cruise ships, because they say they don't want to disrupt people's plans, travel plans. It's probably a good PR move. You don't want to get the public all upset with you.
Yeah.
So those are the two exceptions to the strike.
Well, I couldn't, again, that's the first time I've ever heard of the United States Maritime Alliance Employer Group is what the AP calls it. I'm not sure exactly what they are, what they do, but anyway, that's the situation. And if they don't come to an agreement, then the average person out there is about to feel some pain.
Yep.
And, you know, in the next few weeks.
And the inflation, oh, wait, we already got that problem.
Yeah, right.
It only gets worse.
Bad inflation. It's going to be Harrisflation. So, anyway, go ahead, Steve.
All right. We are still watching what's going on the East Coast with regard to recovery from Hurricane Helene. This has snuck up on a lot of people, unless you're living in the affected areas.
Mm-hmm.
We've become so used to hurricane landing. It's hard on a community or two. It's hard on a half of a state, maybe. And 8 days of hope comes in, and then it kind of rolls off of the news. This is along the lines of Katrina. We have 134 are confirmed dead. There are still hundreds missing that they don't know what have happened to them. Entire towns have been just washed away. There was a town that they used for two Hollywood movies, including, I think it was it Dirty Dancing with, what's his name?
Patrick Swayze.
They did in this town. Anyway, that's gone. That town is gone. The name is escaping me at the moment. I saw a video of a casket being rolling down a river, that had been somehow collected in this flood. It is a biblical proportions. This morning in our devotions, we had a friend of the ministry. His name is Gavin Haven.
Gary Haven,
I guess is what he pronounces it. He
says. Haven.
So anyway, Gary is on his way with his helicopter. I had a chance to go out to the airport where he took off in this helicopter and talked to him briefly before he went. And I will play you what he had to say. This is a friend of yours, Tim.
Yeah, he's on his way from Texas to North Carolina to help in the recovery and rescue and whatever they need him to do, because they don't have enough helicopters there yet in that region, and they need them because of the situation, in especially in North Carolina.
Well, this is what Gary told me, Cut 11.
So people that live in the mountains in that part of the country are trapped. They have no electricity, which means the refrigeration is out. So they are literally trapped. They need food, water, medical supplies, baby formula. But to get these supplies to them, the only way to do it is with a helicopter.
Is this a ministry for you?
If resources can flow through you to meet the needs of others, you'll be given more resources. And of course, I'm older now, so I've been able to kind of test that biblical principle and prove it out. This is an opportunity for God to put resources that he trusts me with into the hands of people in need.
So good for him. He was on his way to North Carolina, and this was kind of a halfway point for him, so stopped to visit us, and he went on.
He's going to be ferrying food from base to mountain communities that have been cut off in many cases.
You know, I know this is a broad general prayer, but we need to pray for the people who are rescuing folks and who are helping folks, and I'm assuming the National Guard's out all over the – I mean, these – and things are still – you know, you have waters that are contaminated, Ray, with chemicals.
You know, here it is on Tuesday. We don't really know the extent, how bad it is. You hear words, Tim, like apocalyptic.
Right.
A disaster of biblical proportions. And people throw those words around, but I think that's exactly what this is. You've got communities of somebody says it's like an island. You've got little islands of 100 people here and 150 people there, way up in the mountains, and there's no road. The road's been washed out. It's been destroyed. They can't get out. You can't get in. They don't have any electricity. It's a tragedy of enormous proportions. And you're exactly right, Tim. We ought to be praying for. All of the friends, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, but there's so many other ministries that are joining in to help, because this is not a crisis that's going to be solved this week. It's going to be months, mm-hmm. months.
Oh, the cleanup! Did you guys see the video from Asheville? I know there are many other communities affected in the same way, but I'm just talking about. I just saw the video of Asheville, North Carolina, and I was like, because having been there 4 or 5 times. I knew these streets, yeah. And these streets are like, covered up in sludge and basically a river ran through the city because of the rain. Yeah. I don't think, I was trying to read last night, I don't think the water went into the Biltmore Mansion, the famous.
It was all up around it.
But it was up around it.
Right, around it, yeah.
Well, they call it the Biltmore Village,
right.
Which is not the same as the Biltmore Mansion.
Right,
but it's nearby, and that's why they call it that. But it was flooded.
Mm-hmm. Right,
but I think the mansion was spared. But still, I'm talking about
places where the Interstate 40 is right. Shut down. And I saw one of the maps put out yesterday by the North Carolina, government transportation folks, and have little dots where there's a trouble spot. It's just covered. All of Western, they're just covered with those spots where nobody can get in, nobody can get out. It's going to take a long time to recover and rebuild.
And a lot of money.
Yeah. And if you weren't with us yesterday, just the Cove, which is Billy Graham's conference site, is closed for business because it is a
staging area
for likely Gary Havens is going to be flying out of that.
The Cove is on a hillside. It's halfway up a mountain, so it's safe. But you're right. It's probably 3 miles from maybe five miles from downtown Asheville. Yeah. There. Next story, Steve.
All right. Well, we talk about the weaponization of the federal government. Maybe this is another example, maybe not quite as weapony, if I can use that word. But yesterday, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, fast-tracked the sale of about 200 radio stations, many in southern Florida, that were part of a network called Odyssey, and they sold them to a new network formed by George Soros. Normally, this would take a month or two at least to get through because George Soros is bringing a whole lot of foreign ownership into this. And if you have more than 25% foreign ownership, the there has to be a lot of vetting that the FCC does, but they fast-tracked it. And a lot, the Republicans on the FCC, there's two Republicans, three Democrats, are saying it's obvious why they did this. They wanted to do it before the election. So what does this do? This takes away a lot of conservative voices. You know, conservative radio, the liberals have never figured out how to do radio. They're good at TV, but liberal talk has never taken on conservative talk. The Rush Limbaugh thing is huge. And now some of those voices, right when voting is starting and through the election, may be silenced.
We had Abe on this on the show about this about two, three weeks ago, but that was before the decision's been made. Yeah. Are you saying it's finalized?
It has been made, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday it was finalized.
Where are the radio stations located?
Mostly in southern Florida.
How many?
About 200 in total.
I bet you they're national.
Yeah, I think they are, but I mean, there's
yeah.
Anyway, were focusing on Spanish language stations, and because the Hispanic vote is.
So are they Spanish speaking stations? Are they going to remain Spanish speaking stations?
I'm sure that they will remain Spanish speaking. They will remain Spanish now Democrat mouthpieces yeah. in Spanish.
All right, next story.
All right, let's talk about. Congratulations to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, today is his birthday. He's the first president ever in the United States history to reach 100 years old. And so today is Jimmy Carter's birthday. We wish him well.
You know what they say?
What do they say?
I don't want to.
Sound like Trump. Yeah. I'm just telling you what they say. They say.
Yeah,
that's what Trump does when he doesn't want to call somebody out. He's gonna say, "There, you know what they say."
What you're doing here?
Yeah, I'm trying to do here. So they, you know what they say is, every man, or every, I should say, every person to be
that's right. Neutral, yeah, 2024.
Every person wants to live to be 100.
It's
except a man that's 99.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh? Right. See what I did there, Ray?
Well, we'd like you to explain that a little more. Yeah,
explain that, right.
Thank you, I've never heard
that before.
Y'all don't get it?
We just want to see you.
He doesn't want to stop at 100.
Okay, if you're 99, you don't say, I just want to live to be 100.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, because that you're saying, I just want two more months, Lord, on earth. Huh? And then I'll go. No, I'm just saying
sure.
Survival instinct being what it is, we all right. want to live as long as we can. So nobody says when they're 99, I just want to make it to 100.
Okay. Well,
that's the joke.
Well, first of all.
I thought you were going to step in one there, but you got around it.
You handled it. Finesse that pretty good, Tim.
Yeah.
First of all, congratulations to President Carter. Yeah. It's notable achievement. He's had cancer for a number of years. And read an article yesterday. He was one of the first people to get this immunotherapy when it was still really new and has lived, I think, years longer than they thought he would. So happy birthday. But as far as being, you know, let me pose this as a question, and I'll just leave it out here. Have you ever seen Tim, a 99-year-old, and said, I hope I live to be 99 too?
Listen,
I'm home in heaven.
I know. Nobody wants to outlive their health, right?
No, you got that right. That's it.
Nobody wants to outlive their health or and mental or bodily health. Nobody wants to, but that does happen to some people, unfortunately. Might happen.
I know it's all in God's hands, and we got to say that, but.
Yeah.
But,
okay, guys, we're getting over spiritual here. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but it's true.
It is true.
Listen, Wesley, wait till you're 72, I am. You start thinking of that more than when you're your age. But you're coming in my direction. You get to a certain age and you go, I got whatever number of years left.
Right.
But I'm not sitting here praying, God, let me live to be 99.
100, yeah, no.
We got breaking news.
Is it breaking?
Yeah, out of Israel.
Okay.
The by the OSINT Defender website, which is kind of real-time intelligence, there reports multiple individuals have been shot at a light rail station in Jerusalem Boulevard in Jaffa, suspected terrorist attack. 5 minutes ago, they reported three killed, three seriously injured, four moderately injured in the shooting attack. And then 3 minutes ago, other possible gunmen and shootings are now also being reported in the Jaffa suburb of southern Tel Aviv. Oftentimes when these kind of things happen, the numbers and the places where these are happening are off.
Did you say Jaffa?
Jaffa.
Okay.
Well, the Jaffa, J-A-F-F-A. Jaffa,
that's
south, biblical Jaffa, yeah.
That's south of Tel Aviv. Been there many times. Reyes, too.
Yeah.
So that's just another hour in Chicago.
It is, except that if it's a follow-up on...
I'm not trying to... I probably shouldn't have said that. I don't mean to make light of the situation. I'm just saying that...
Well, they're on pins and needles over there.
Yeah.
Because our government has said attack is coming in the next 48 hours from Iran, and they said it's going to happen at night. So there's still a few more hours.
But a gunman shooting is not a ballistic attack.
No. Although we do have sirens going off in Israel, kind of all around Israel.
Yeah.
You wanted us to flag you at 3 minutes.
Yeah, I do.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Do you mind ending with something that's not politics or terrible?
Yes,
I
want to vote no.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding. Y'all watch the Alabama game over the weekend?
Oh, football. This is great.
Yeah. All right. So
Alabama v. Georgia.
Game. Alabama beat Georgia, and they beat Georgia on a last-minute touchdown throw.
I saw it.
It was crazy. Something to behold. Jalen Milroe hit 17-year-old Ryan Williams with a 70-some yard football pass for a touchdown. And this is what it sounded like on TV. Cut 10.
And they take a downfield shot. And the catch is made. It's Ryan Williams still spinning free. Touchdown, Alabama. The answer in one play. 75 yards for the 17-year-old. Are you kidding us?
Did you know that they must be following college football in Tokyo and in Japan? Because there was a Japanese call as well. Japanese language call to this play. Listen to cut 9. I don't know what happened, but boy, was that exciting.
They were into it, baby.
So that was a Japanese call?
That was a Japanese call.
I'll tell you what happened, because I was watching. That was the most remarkable second half of any college football game I've ever seen, or as good.
Yeah.
Because it came down. Georgia was behind Alabama 30-7.
Which is where I cut it off.
30-7. I think at halftime.
That's right.
Halftime. And so I text my brother like halfway through the fourth quarter. I said, are you watching this? Because he likes college football. So you watching this? He said, no, I turned it off at halftime. I said, you better turn it back on. Because Georgia came roaring back.
Took the lead
with like 2.5-3 minutes to go. Then the very next play is the play you just heard.
Yeah.
And Alabama scores to win.
I'm just thankful that Steve brought in our cultural appropriation for the week.
That's right.
My wife, Allison, she says, if Alabama has a chance to win at the end, they will.
Yeah.
Because they are anointed of God.
They seem to be.
It's just a fact,
roll,
folks.
It's just uncanny how they can pull it off at the end, if they need to. Most of the time, they just destroy people in the first quarter. But anyway, have a great afternoon, everybody. See you tomorrow.